Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey, I'm Molly Sims.
And I'm Amisha Gormley. We're two girls obsessed with one thing,
beauty.
And by that, we mean everything that makes you look
and feel
beautiful.
We're calling on our favorite health experts, industry insiders, and friends to answer all your beauty questions.
With a drink in hand.
Definitely with a drink in hand.
You're listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims.
If you, like me, love a frilly floral dress, then keep listening. Meet Cleobella, one of my favorite brands for easy breezy pieces that can take you from warm holidays into the summer season and back again. And they happen to be ethical too. Cleobella just launched their newest collection and it's filled with blue and white paisleys. Lots of black and white separates that look just as fabulous together as they do apart. And desert hues that I have to say look pretty great with a bronzy tan. Amisha, this one is for you. Oh, and their new leather and rattan handbags are a must. I'm particularly eyeing the woven style. I'm basically just talking you through my shopping cart, but in all seriousness, Cleobella is the dream brand for vacation because it packs easily. Everything is so light and flowy. Nothing takes up too much room. And honestly, you really never even have to steam it. It's so good. Every piece really does look so good against a tropical setting. Well, now I really want to go on vacation. They also, you guys, they have little girl sizes too. They're so good. Scarlett, oh, she looks so good. I love Cleobella. I did a partnership with them, a capsule collection, a few months ago. And I have to say, one of my favorite brands. They're beautiful. The block prints to the tropical prints to just honestly, their edit is so chic and just amazing. I truly love them. At Cleobella, sustainability and ethical practices are at their core of who they are, deeply rooted in partnerships with independent artisans around the world. Their designs are ethically handmade, preserving traditional heritage techniques. And better yet, when you shop on their website, cleobella.com, you can choose 1% of your purchase to be donated towards global education, the planet, and charities that empower young women. I will definitely be rotating which cause I support with every purchase I make because I really do feel passionately about all of these. You guys are going to love Cleobella. When you ask me, where's that floral plant from? Half the time it's Cleobella. Shop the new collection and get 20% off with code LIPSTICK. Visit cleobella.com, cleobella.com/lipstick to see what's new as well as some of my favorites you will love.
Amisha, you have known today's guest for how many years?
We met at a Mommy and Me music class almost 8 years ago. I mean, Maeve's going to be eight. So we met when they were a couple months old.
So Amisha tells me 8 years ago, she was like, you've got to meet this girl. Got to meet this girl. Well, today I'm finally actually meeting this girl who I have followed for the past 8 years. We have with us Jenny Mullen Biggs. She is so awesome. She's an actress, writer, Instagram personality, New York Times bestselling author. We're talking facial treatments that actually worth trying, books, How to Feed Your Tyrant Children, Jenny Mullen Biggs. We're so excited. You guys, she's written for Glamour, Cosmo, Playboy. She's so funny. She actually has a column in Monthly and she was named 5 to Follow by T Magazine.
She's pretty awesome. I mean, she's hysterical. She's a really amazing hands-on mom.
First heard about you literally 8 years ago. I cannot believe I've never met you in person.
It's so wild. I know, and we have so much overlap. It's very strange.
Jenny is very funny. She is an actress. She is a writer. She is an Instagram. I have to say you're an Instagram personality because you're
You got named one of five to follow by T Magazine. So you are an Instagram personality, whether you like it or not. And you have a standing column for Parents Magazine. But I have to say, she is an unbelievable writer. And she has a new book coming out, Dictator Lunches, Inspired Meals That Will Compel Even the Toughest of Tyrants' Children. I love it. We're so excited. And today we're going to get to talk about The City of Likes, your novel, Jenny Mullen. You're like the triple fucking threat.
She really
is. My novel comes out, guys, in 3 weeks, and I'm losing my mind. It's crazy.
I'm so excited.
I mean, there's so much to dive into.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. So let's talk, like, I know you through Imisha. So if we take a step back and kind of give us, you know, where you're from, how'd you get here? What's your journey? I mean, I literally know you because you have a site on Instagram where you just show lunches and they're amazing.
They're not what I feed my kids. You'd be very horrified if you saw what I feed my kids. So let's just be clear.
Well, yeah. How did I get started? I'm from Arizona. I grew up in Arizona. I was back and forth the San Diego, Arizona thing. My mom lives in San Diego and I lived with my dad through high school. Then I went to UCLA and I was a theater major there and I started working in film and TV, where that's where I met my husband. We did a movie together. And I think I started my writing journey. Well, I had written a one-woman show while I was in college, and that's kind of how I got my first agent. But what really, I think, launched me was Twitter. I was one of these early Twitter people, you know, when it was like Danny Zucker and Kelly Oxford and Jenny Johnson. It was just like an interesting time to be a woman and a comedian on Twitter because it really democratized comedy, especially, you know, for us sort of struggling artists in LA. And I developed this weird following where, you know, I just would like go on and like talk shit about, or, you know, The Bachelor, or I would be talking about how I was like stalking my husband's ex-girlfriend, who I still like love, but now, you know, she won't speak to me. It's been, we've had quite a, I mean, that is like, yeah.
And just for the record,
Odyssey,
her husband is
Odyssey.
Jason Biggs, because I don't think we've said anything.
Yeah, Jason Biggs. I know. We just know him as Jason
we just know
Biggs
him,
because
or Jaden, yes, which I want to understand.
Or Jaden, which we're going to get to. And you guys, she's so good. You have to listen to her podcast. It's called Third Wheel with Jenny. It's real
good.
Yeah,
I just finished an episode of Third Wheel. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm in this studio. I don't really have like a great place to do podcasts at home. So it kind of worked out.
Kind of
you guys
out.
Have seen my kids flailing about. Yeah. And so then my writing sort of came out of that. I was frustrated enough as an actress that I started writing. I was like, let me find a profession that could be more depressing. Oh, I know. I should be a writer. Yeah. And then I wrote this column for Playboy and it blew up. And that was when I got this standing column with Playboy online. And I wrote for them for about a year. And at the end of the year, I thought I should try to write a memoir. And so then I sold the first memoir and it worked. And then I did a second. And I don't know. That's how I ended up here.
What was the column for Playboy?
It was just like I would get to write a short story once a month. And I had a bunch of very insane stories that then later became my first book.
Oh, I love that.
When I
love guys,
I
the stories are
yeah.
Really
your book is so good.
Raunchy.
I like you just the way I am. Stories about me and some other people. This is, you know, she's quoted saying, "This is I love that. This is my book, an assortment of stories about not doing the right thing." Yes, it's about me, but it's about women who all come in two types: those that are totally batshit crazy and those that are liars.
Yes. Yes.
So
it was a fun time in my life,
yeah,
guys.
Let's talk about pre-kids. That time. That was fun, oh, right?
It was so fun.
Is that when you met your husband?
That was after I met him. I mean, believe it or not, I got crazier after I met him.
But it is, like, listen, I mean, Emisha and I are best friends, and we rarely ever, over 20 years, have a disagreement. But women can be fucking mean. I mean,
oh,
women
yeah.
can
yes.
be, I mean, like, I always say to my husband, like, I'm a Gemini. I'm like, you're like talking to four people right now.
Yes, I'm a Gemini too. When is your birthday?
May 25th.
Ooh, I love it. I love a May Gemini. I'm May 30th.
Oh, I love it. My son is June 19th. I love a Gemini. We're like very yes. loyal people. Very
yes, but the June Geminis are different from us.
Oh, tell me
we're
everything,
we're like a
Jenny.
Different strand of Gemini. I don't
what
know how
kind
to explain
of strand?
It. Because I think that we
still have a little, you know, we're bumping up against the Torrens. And I think that we're just a little, not like, I won't say we're grounded, but I think that we are just a bit more, we are not as all over the place as the June Geminis can be.
I love a company that's founded on good principles. I think it always speaks such volumes to the culture of the founder and the products that are being produced. That is why I love Array. A-R-R-A-E. They're solely interested in helping women feel their very best, and they're tackling real problems women deal with every day. Let's face it. We all get anxiety. We all get bloated. I know I do. I love that Array is just focusing on these issues with two products. They have Bloat and Calm. And I know you guys have heard me talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it again. It really does make me feel like, as a company, they are committed to solving these problems versus creating tons of different, less effective products just for the sake of having a wide product assortment. The thing that's the best about them, their supplements are 100% natural, all formulated by naturopathic doctors. Just to go through the list with you, we're talking laxative-free, non-habit-forming, vegan, non-GMO, gluten-free, filler-free, nut-free, cruelty-free, and designed to be taken as needed. I've been taking the Bloat capsules after meals pretty regularly because I find it doesn't hurt to have them in my system no matter what I eat. We often think eating poorly is how we end up getting bloated, but I'm a pretty healthy eater, and vegetables, especially raw ones, and I eat a lot of salads, can really leave me feeling bloated as it's harder for the body to break them down. With a blend of 5 herb and 1 fruit-based digestive enzyme, I feel relief quickly. There's no waiting until the next day type of thing to feel a difference. And the Bloat capsules, they're targeting all the ways we can experience bloat, heartburn reduction, gas prevention. You get what I'm saying. As I always say, it's better to be safe than sorry. The Bloat capsules are great to have on hand when you travel, or just great to have on you all the time. I love this brand, you guys. Bloat and Calm. They look good on your vanity. They look good in your bathroom, and they really do work. Go to Array.com, that's A-R-R-A-E.com, and use code LIPSTICK at checkout for 15% off of one-time purchases or 25% off first month on subscription. I'm on subscription, and I absolutely love it.
Do you want to start a company but have no idea where to begin? Or do you have dreams of becoming an influencer? Well, the Life with Marianna podcast is here to help. I'm Marianna Hewitt, a Los Angeles-based influencer and co-founder of the clean skincare line Summer Fridays. Each Tuesday, I'm talking to my friends from business owners, wellness experts, and more to share all of their best advice for you to live your best life. Make sure to tune in and subscribe to my podcast and follow me on Instagram at Marianna_Hewitt to see what's coming up each week so you don't miss an episode.
So when you were writing, I Like Just the Way I Am, it's got to be hard when you're pulling from yourself to write and be honest and be authentic. And I think that's ultimately why the Playboy column that led to a book blew up. But was it really difficult dealing with women at that time in your life?
No, I was raised by two narcissists who never listened to me. So like when I wrote that first book, I was like, who gives a fuck what I say? Nobody's going to read this anyway. Why would I hold back when like I'm just writing in a silo? I mean, there was nothing. I didn't have kids. There was no, but I wasn't really accountable. So like, it didn't matter. I could just say whatever I wanted to say. I was married to someone who was more famous than me, which always bugged the fuck out of me. So I'm like, I'm just always going to be Jason Biggs's plus one. Who cares what I have to say?
That's
so I'm just
going to
say it all and lay it on the line. And it worked.
But you know what? It has.
I was like rewarded for being psycho, guys.
and
that's why like years later, then I get like a fucking letter saying from like an ex and saying all of your tweets and everything you've written have like been about like me and my family for all these years. And I'm thinking, no, I was just like writing bullshit. And people, you know, just because I think like so many, when you're writing memoir, people think everything's about them. Right. There's like two types of narcissists. They either think it's about them or they can't see themselves. And I attract both.
Wait, so tell us how you and Jason met. Take us there.
Yeah. We did a movie together. I was auditioning for this Kate Hudson movie, and the guy who repped the writer, so he was a manager, Doug Johnson, and he repped this guy, Jordan Cahan, who wrote the film. And he wanted to, he was kind of trying to like sleep with my sister. So he said to me, you want access to the audition tapes? Do you want to see the other girls you're up against? And I'm like,
yes. Like, I've only been waiting my entire career for somebody to give me the audition tapes. So I'm, like, watching the Lake Bells, the Lizzie Kaplans. You know, it was, like, all, like, a certain vibe at the time. Like, a very, like, I could, like, you know, it was all the same girls I saw everywhere. And I'm watching all the tapes. And I'm just, like, loving my life, just relaxing in my apartment, thinking, like, you don't know I'm watching this. And he said, while you're at it, watch the two guys we're choosing between. One is Jason Biggs and one is this other guy. And I said, fuck Jason Biggs. You know, give it to the underdog. Because I was, you know, fully projecting, thinking, like, I'm the underdog. Why would I ever want you to give it to, like, this, like, famous guy? Like, give the other guy a shot. And also, I was, like, a theater major. I really thought I was such, like, a
serious,
highbrow, serious actor. And Jason, I'm like, isn't he from those, like, teen comedies? He can't possibly be talented. So then I watched the tape, and he was amazing. And I say to this day, I'm like, Jason, you were so good in that audition. You were better than you even were in the movie. And he always gets mad at me. But, like, that audition, little did he know, he was, like, auditioning for, like, the rest of his life. And I called Doug Johnson back, and I said, you have to give it to Jason. He's so talented. I didn't know. And then maybe, like, a week or two later, my sister called and said, would you go on a double date with me and Jason and Doug? And my first, like, reaction was, you know, like, I don't want to date an actor. I hadn't up until that point dated actors. I was really good about, like, steering clear of actors. I didn't know also if I had the ego strength to date a famous person.
Right.
I thought, like, at 28 years old, I felt, like, pretty hot walking into a room. And, like, walking in with a guy that everyone knows from something is really, like, you just feel fully invisible. So I wasn't ready for that. But I did want to be in the movie, guys. I really didn't want to upset Doug. And I thought Doug had power. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. Then we had this, like, three-way phone call, maybe, like, a day before we went out. And Jason was too stoned to, like, really have game. And I called my sister afterwards. I'm like, he's not funny. I don't think I can go on the date. And she's like, Jenny, pull yourself together. It's free sushi. You're going on
the date. It's free sushi.
Yeah, it was Sushi Park, guys. It was, like, expensive. Oh, sushi.
Fancy. Yes. That's Sushi Park. That's fancy.
Right? So then I went on the date, and we hit it off. But nothing. I didn't think, like, oh, this is the man I'm going to marry. I was like, he's nice. But I still had such a chip on my shoulder because I was jealous of him. I didn't like, I felt, you know, I'm just so ambitious. And I felt like he made me feel like I hadn't done anything with my career that was, like, that cool. So I sort of hung out with him, but, like, didn't really get too close. And then he got in the movie first, and then I hated him again. and then we were, like, on the phone for, I don't know, it was like a week or two. We would just talk on the phone, and it kind of eliminated the weirdness of, like, the discrepancy between our careers. And so we could just be two people. And I started to sort of fall for him. And then I got in the movie, and then, you know, 3 months later, we were, like, fully in love in Boston together. And we were married 9 months after meeting.
That's
so it
insane.
Went really fast once it picked up the bit. Once
it got momentum.
I was able to get out of my own way. Mm-hmm.
And then you had a wedding in Napa. I got married in Napa.
Yes. But first we eloped on the side of the road in like a FedEx Kinko's Taco Bell drive-through in Calabasas. With, like, a justice of the peace and, like, her, like, one-eyed son who kind of maybe was our witness, but maybe he didn't see anything. So maybe we're not even married. But, yeah, so, yeah. And then we went to, you know, the old Sushi Nozawa. Sushi's really been a running theme in this marriage.
By the way, if you live in L.A. and someone takes you to Sushi Park, it means they fucking love you.
And by the way, you right? and I had yeah, a sushi date. You and I had a sushi lunch date the last time I saw you at Lure,
we were at Lure
in Soho.
Yes. Guys, so and fun. Now my mercury, I got a letter from the state of New York. My mercury is like a 30.
I had a 30.
Oh, my God.
She had a 30. Same thing. She had a 30. She got a letter from the New York.
I got a letter. My doc, I got the exact same letter. And I was a 30.
What do we do?
You have to cut sushi. It's heartbreaking. Tuna salad, tuna.
But she was like, I don't understand why my mercury's high. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You eat sushi every single day. You eat tuna every day.
I was eating it all the time. I literally had 30. And normal is 0 to 10, guys, out there. So you're supposed to be a healthy level of 0 to 10. I was 30. Dr.
Gu. Guys, I've literally been testing my nannies. I'm, like, convinced it's, like, in my water in the apartment. They're like, why do we need to give you blood? I couldn't. I had all my jewelry dusted, guys. I've lost it.
No, I had really a problem too. Mine was like a 14, yeah. And Emma was like, mine was a fucking 30.
I was like, you could get a cell phone signal off of me. I was waiting.
I swear.
So much.
All right, we want
to. Did
talk
you
about
notice anything wrong with you?
I really didn't. Because all I knew I about did. Mercury poisoning was Jeremy Piven. So that was like that was my barometer. I was like, well, he like dropped out of a play, like or something for mercury poisoning, right? And I'm like, I feel kind of normal, but I maybe a little tired, but I just thought I was a new mom. So that's what I thought it was at the time. Yeah. But anyhow.
Oh my God. Well, I have thyroid shit, so I just blame everything on my thyroid.
Do you ever feel like your space just needs a refresh, but you're not exactly sure what to do, what to change, or what direction to take? Well, I am here to help. Actually, Macy's is really here to help. You guys have heard me talk about this incredible section on their site called Own Your Style. It's where they create different edits and they switch them up all the time, so there's always something new to be inspired by. I have to admit, having access to regularly updated curations is a little bit dangerous for someone like myself, who's an avid shopper, as my husband likes to call me. Macy's newest curation is centered around rustic home decor, and I think this is going to serve as just the thing you need to get new ideas to liven up your space. I love this edit because it really has a fantastic variety of soft textures and warm wood accents that make it easy to bring a piece of the countryside into your home. Even if you're in an apartment in the city, there's something really soothing and calming about coming home after a busy day to a zen surrounding. It's kind of a game changer, actually. I love rustic home decor. I love sage green dinnerware, lush foliage, cozy blankets, and bedding. For more ways to quickly upgrade your home, this is perfect. You can buy one or a few pieces and see how it makes you feel, or do even a bigger overhaul. Sometimes we all need a little full home makeover, and maybe now it's your moment. With the summer being a slower time, let yourself embrace the change and try something new. As someone who personally loves interiors and loves to decorate, there's truly nothing more fun for me than sprucing up my home. If you're ready to join me, head over to Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. That's Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. Okay, talking about this brand always makes me really hungry, but here we go. Fly by Jing. Have you heard of it? You guys know I have been loving them. They make cooking at home so much better and so much more exciting. They've been seriously elevating every dish, and even for those of you who are not the best in the kitchen like me, with Fly by Jing, that will change fast. It's easy, and it is so delicious. We've really been experimenting in the Stuber household. I've let my kids go wild trying different sauces with so many different foods. Fly by Jing prides themselves on unusual pairings, and I have to say, you think something doesn't really go well together until you try it, and you will so be pleasantly surprised. We have tried the Szechuan chili crisp on ice cream. You guys, it's insane. Szechuan chili crisp, it's incredible. I know, trust me, it sounds insane, but it's not. I don't even really know how to explain it other than that your taste buds will explode. We've also tried the chili pepper oil on pizza, and it really adds just that amazing little kick. Beyond just how good everything tastes, what I love about this brand is that they're the first modern Chinese food company in America, and they are on a mission to bring premium Chinese flavors to every table. And I have to say, I think they are doing a pretty good job so far. All their ingredients are 100% vegan, all natural, and non-GMO, which is just an added bonus. Honestly, I would still eat them even if they weren't. It is that good. Are you ready to step up your game and elevate your favorite recipes? Get 15% off your entire order at flybyjing.com/lipstick or use code lipstick at checkout. That's flybyjing, flybyjing.com/lipstick for 15% off your first order. You can also find Fly by Jing in over 2,500 locations across the country, including Costco, Whole Foods, Target, and Wegmans. Thank you, Fly by Jing.
Wait, so that's funny that I know this. I probably know too much personal information about you, but Emisha had said that you have hyper. I have hypo. You have hyper, correct?
Do you have Hashimoto's?
No, I do not. I have hypothyroidism. Okay. Do you have Hashis, which goes up and down?
I have Graves. It's like the opposite of Hashis, but I guess they say that I have Hashis too, so I have conflicting thyroid disorders.
No, I got tested again.
Gemini with conflicted thyroid. I don't know what to do.
I got tested for Graves again last year, but I didn't have it.
I have a friend who just got diagnosed with Hashimoto, literally, 2 weeks ago.
It just Hashimoto's means that your thyroid can be hyper or hypo, and it can just go back and forth. It's really difficult to treat.
It's so annoying.
It's annoying. But I always wanted hyperthyroidism because you lose weight.
Yeah. No, you get so skinny, like scary skinny, and then your eyes start to bulge out of your head. And Jason's like, are you okay?
I remember when you were actually doing that, when you were talking about it on Instagram a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally remember that.
How I found out, I was like, fuck you, I'm okay, you know? And then somebody in my stories is like, ma'am, I think you have a goiter popping out of your neck. And then I felt my neck. I'm like, oh my God. I called my dad and he, you know, because my dad's a doctor, so I'm spoiled and I'm always like making him, I'm his problem patient. I'm like, I'm dying. And so, yeah, that's how I found out. It was from an Instagram follower. Yeah. They diagnosed me, guys.
That is amazing. I had somebody do that to me on Instagram. Like, they're like, you were exercising and I was like, oh my God. I remember I was in Nashville and my dad was going through something. I'm like, please don't. I mean, but again, like people see you and it's good that they say something.
They keep an eye out.
I mean, I think that what's amazing about your Instagram is, and the reason you have so many people that follow you is because you're so honest and you don't put on a show. It's like, this is me. This is who I am. Even like when you're going to see the dermatologist, you're like, look at me. I'm getting these procedures done. There's like, you don't hold back.
First of all, we really want to talk about your books. And you are a prolific writer. City of Likes.
That's so sweet.
I mean, I was reading it. And because I kind of like know some of the people you're friends with, I was like, trying to figure out, do I know who she's talking about?
We have the advanced copy.
I'll tell you
here.
Everyone.
Offline, I need to know who inspired every character.
So it's called The City of Likes. We have an advanced copy. Will you tell our readers? Because you guys have to. Yeah, I read it. It's amazing. And it's
a good beach read, guys. Quick beach read that you will thoroughly enjoy.
Megan the idea behind it started because, I'd written two memoirs and I thought initially, oh, my third book is, you know, if the second book was postpartum from the edge, where I'm like, how could I be the mom I always wanted when I didn't have the mom I always wanted? Like, how do I fucking do this? Then book three would be like surrender, right? Like now I have two kids and I'm in it. But I sat down to write that proposal and I was just like bored out of my mind. And a friend of mine said, Jenny, why don't you write about like what's actually going on with you? Which was, I moved to New York from LA, where in LA it was like your currency was fame. So you were only as like cool as like the last pilot you shot. But in New York, I came with this weird following. So I had a demographic of female followers between like 18 to 35 with a little bit of buying power. And I was welcomed into like these weird inner circles in New York. These like wealthy women who had companies, because like they weren't just ladies who lunch, they're ladies who launch. So they like all have
love that.
Like these fucking like, they're all selling you something. And they wanted me to kind of like, you know, they wanted to sell their, use them. They wanted to use me to sell their shit. So I was let in and I'm like all of a sudden at these like underground, like bummy supper clubs and like weddings for dogs and, you know, high end fashion shows and, you know, having play dates with like fucking Julian Schnabel. Like, weird shit, guys. Really weird shit that I've been exposed to. And I'm like, I have to write this. But if I write this book, I will be driven out of this city. Because what I did start to see, you know, amongst my peers who were doing the same thing at this time, which was like selling motherhood, right? I was getting like endorsement deals for brands and they kept like pushing my boundary. Like, how much are you willing to give of yourself and your family for the fucking money? And what I saw them doing was like, you know, just kind of like using the kids in a way that like I didn't feel comfortable. But also there was just this disparity between like the kind of mom they presented and like how they sort of set up like this is what parenthood is and like what was actually happening in their real lives. And I thought to myself, like, how much of a mom are you and how present are you for your kids if you're so busy curating your parenting for other people? And that was when I knew, like, I will be like haunted till the day I die. If I don't write this book, I'm going to become this book. I have to do it. And this book is my third child. Nobody wanted me to write this book. It was like such a labor of love, you guys. I've written it. I wrote it four times. And like when I went to sell this book, it was a pandemic and everybody said, you can't do this. I don't know if in a post-COVID world, a book about like privileged women in Lower Manhattan doesn't read as tone deaf. And I said like, fuck you. Like, this is real. This happened. This is happening. And I'm putting this book out even if I have to like self-publish the damn thing.
Yeah, I just want to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek. It centers on a woman named Megan Chernoff, a talented but unemployed copywriter in an identity crisis after the birth of her second child.
Ding, 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 ding.
I wonder who that is. Seeking a fresh start, she and her family move to New York City, where she meets Daphne Cole, a gorgeous stylist, well-known momfluencer. But before she knows it, Meg finds herself immersed in Daphne's world, hobnobbing at exclusive power mama super clubs, partaking in fancy wellness rituals, and reveling in the external validation she gets from her followers, who grow daily by the thousands.
It's so good.
Guys, you're going to want to read this. I mean, guys, we live in such an Instagram culture right now.
It's also so, like, creepy, because it really, like, gets at, like, you know how, like, women in, like, friendships, like, we almost, like, date each other? So it's really about, like, that, like, toxic friendship that I think we've all had where it's, like, all of a sudden you're like deeply enmeshed with a narcissist, and like there's no greater high than like the love and attention you get from a narcissist, right? Like when they shine that light on you, you just feel so fucking good. But when that light goes out, just like the drop is so heavy and intense. And I wanted to like really talk about that, like how these friendship dynamics can really pull you out of everything. Like you to serve that person, it's like you're willing to like put your family on the back burner and just like follow them down that rabbit hole. And I think the Instagram is also this like narcissist that we keep feeding because we want that external validation. We want to feel seen. And it's just like, it's an epidemic. And I think that us as like millennial moms, we're all living it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and downtown Manhattan for sure.
And
too.
It's so hard. So how yes. do you deal? I mean, you know, a lot of people ask my family as well to use the kids. Like, how do you feel like, you know, we're bringing, you have an 8 and a 4-year-old into yes. the Instagram filter world. Like, how do you deal with that on a daily basis?
Well, I don't show my kids' faces. I'm super neurotic about that. Like, I don't want people to see the kids. Mm-hmm. And I always tell Sid, I'm like, because people will turn to stone if they see you. If they see your beautiful face, they'll just like freak out. But no, like I personally, and I know, like I think a lot of this, I've sort of really like explored this topic with my therapist because I'm super like intensely just like against showing my kids. I think for me though, a lot of it is I'm a child of the 80s and I'm so paranoid and neurotic, and I live in a city where my kids take the subway and they walk on the street. Yeah. They're not in like a car in a backyard. And, you know, that's not the setup for me. And the access, I just don't want somebody to see my kid at the park and be like, oh, that's, you know, that's Laszlo Biggs. Or that's, I'm so scared. So for me, it really goes back to a lot of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I also don't want to turn around one day and have my kids say, you know, you exploited me for comedy, mm-hmm. which like I have done, you know, not enjoying their faces, but like writing about them. And that was another reason would have been hard to write another memoir, because the second book, my son was basically just like a head, you know, he couldn't like do anything. He was a prop. But now he has real feelings and thoughts, and it's just a different dynamic. I didn't want to tell his story. I want him to tell his story.
Well, one of the things that I will say, while you don't show your kids, you have shown what they eat. Yeah. And
yes, I'm obsessed with showing
their
food.
And I will say, I'm not going to lie to you. True story. I actually ordered the same lunchbox, the titanium, whatever the silver one was.
I love it.
I did it. This is like pre-COVID. I was making lunches for Maeve, and I'm like, I mean, they look so pretty in this like nice silver box. But then I would see what you were making and I'm like, I can't, my kid won't eat a sandwich. She won't eat this. She won't eat that. But I was so impressed by the way that you would make those lunches.
And she still makes them. They're called, you got to follow. It's at Dictator Lunches.
But the yes. best, my favorite was when you would travel and Jason would make the lunches. And I am telling you, so it was honest to God,
you
the
sent
funniest.
Them to me.
It would be like, just give an example like of what you would make okay. and then what he would make.
So for me, I would do, let's just say I did like, you know, like some roasted like kabocha squash. I'll do like a sandwich with like, you know, grain-free bread and like some sort of like hummus spread. And I don't know, maybe like some fruits cut up like stars. And then Jason will be like, chocolate protein powder in one of the tins. I made him one time for one of the pictures. I was like, you should put like an aloe vera, like a giant aloe vera plant, like leaf. He did like a like 3 day old like burrito. I mean, just like gross shit that he would find lying around. And then like, I think one time he put like, I don't know if it was like just like Altoids in one side. I mean, really fucked up.
It was so good.
How do you get them to eat?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my thing with the kids is, I just am so passionate about, you know, I don't know. I grew up, my dad, you know, again, like it's so much, again, I think who you are as a parent is a reaction to who you had as a parent, right? And I was a latchkey kid. I didn't have parents making my lunch for me, but I did have super vain parents who, like, my dad at 77 has like a 50-year-old wife and a six pack. So, you know, he would like talk about diet and exercise, and I was brainwashed to think like, I mean, all kids go home and get on the treadmill after school. That's just normal, right? So I didn't, and I didn't grow up eating meat. So like, I do have the advantage of like, I had healthy eating habits already. You know, unlike my husband who grew up, he's like, I knew what romaine lettuce was like when I hit like 22. He still eats like processed cheese, and he's just a different type of eater. And so I was adamant about like, I think the more we dumb down food for kids, the more dumb food they consume. And I'm never like, I don't believe in a kid's menu. They're going to fucking eat what I eat. And if I just hammer it out with them and I'm just consistent, I know that eventually I'm going to win. It's like a power struggle. And I realized that like lunchtime is a great time to sort of test the boundaries because you're not there. So the dance that they do with you can't exist.
That's interesting.
It's like, oh, well, I want this. And, you know, Mlazo throws it. He's like, not good. I don't want it. You know, like just a dick to me. But at lunch, I mean, and especially if he didn't eat breakfast because he like fucked with me and was like, I don't want it. Then I'm like, great. Can't wait to open your fucking box at school. You're stuck with that. That's what you're having. So yeah, I've been able to really like push them with food. And now, you know, and it's my version of like a handwritten note. I mean, it's all a sublimation of my guilt because I'm a working mom, not the one picking them up after school. And it's like a way for me to communicate with them when I'm not around. So that's why I get so into the food and want to make these like little movable feasts, because that's like what I wish somebody had done for me.
Well, I mean, now we can all be like you with those lunches because your book is coming out September 13th.
I do have quotes from the kids in there. Like one of the things Sid likes to say, he's like, I'm the main character of this family. We're like, oh, you are?
Okay. I mean, my third child will not eat anything. Molly knows this. She eats chicken nuggets. And now, right now, we're on a brand called Kid Fresh Chicken Sticks. They are, it's like a cauliflower crust. I mean, it's at least like veggie, like it's got veggies blended into it.
I just say outer.
You can't. You saw her this past summer. She is so stubborn.
She's going to eat.
She starved herself. We were on day three and she hadn't eaten anything. And I'm like, I can't not feed her. Like it's 3 days of her not eating food.
That's what I do. I'm like, we'll starve him out. I'm like, good. You don't want to snack.
I like started to panic. She already had like constipation issues. So I was like, now she's. So I just was.
It is scary.
It is scary. And I asked my doctor, I said, what do I do? And he was like, listen, she's healthy. She's growing healthy. She's got no issues. Like,
what is she eating now?
Chicken and french fries. And now she eats pasta and Parmesan. God. So she'll like eat the Parmesan and spaghetti. So like she's discovered Z bars that are probably horrific for her, but she calls them the big bar. She's like, give me a big bar. I mean, she's three and she is absolutely the tyrant of our household, but.
Oh my God, Lazo wants to come live at your house. He would be psyched.
I mean.
He would be so psyched.
She has a strong personality, Lily.
Yeah, that's a nice way of saying it.
But she's the sweetest. But she is so sweet. She's
a third child.
She can out you in what she wants.
Yeah, she's very determined. She screams like you have never. I mean, the fact that like glass hasn't shattered in our house is a miracle.
Mm-hmm. She came to visit this past summer and stayed like 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, we're gonna break some glass here, Lily.
Oh yeah, she's strong-willed.
She's like a pterodactyl.
Oh yeah, that's what
we call
her.
Do you speak to them in Hungarian?
I mean, I wish I did. I know you teach your kids German, right?
Make them say kusinim.
Kusinim sapin. That's right. Look at that. See? She knows how to say thank you. No, I wish. I know it's probably not too late, but it just feels so awkward
to speak in a different language when my husband doesn't understand it. I mean, I'm fluent and I speak with my dad every day, but
that's my favorite for my husband to not understand. I know. Oh my God. It's like, that's my fucking favorite time.
That's the jam.
Jason's like, jam. Did you just tell them that it's okay for that? Because it'll be like, hostage. He screams at Jason for like taking the iPad away. And Jason's like, did he just say he hates me? Like, I don't know. I really don't know. I can't tell you.
But I hate that fucking iPad. I hate it so much.
I hate the iPad.
I hate it. Taking it away, it's like, why? We don't really do it much anymore at my house.
Yes.
Maybe like a day on the weekends because it's so awful. You let your kids eat with it. I do not.
I mean, we've gotten, I let them, not all the time, but I do. They're fine with it. I can take it away and they're okay with it. So that's why I'm
mine are not okay with me taking it away. Ashley, right? They're terrible.
I can just
we
say.
We call it iPatitude at my house.
iPatitude.
Like something happens. iPatitude is on.
iPatitude. I mean, honestly, it's like the tude is out. Like Brooks was like, he's so sweet, but every now and then he gets a little attitude-y. I'm like, oh, let's just put that tude right away.
Yeah, put it away. Yes. All right. Well, let's talk beauty because I know you are beauty obsessed.
Why don't more people know this about you?
I don't know. I've posted procedures where I'm literally having like my like boob lifted where like they numbed around the nipple and sewed literally it like a purse string to like lift my boob before I had an actual lift just to see what it would look like. So I'm surprised people don't know this about me.
I did not know this. Okay.
All right. So tell us everything. What are your favorite procedures, products,
everything.
All of it? Walk us through.
Well, when I was like in my like early to mid 30s, I was really obsessed with getting the filler and the Botox and all that stuff. But something happened, and I don't know if it was just the pandemic, but I started to think that I looked crazy. So I had to dissolve a bunch of shit. And now I don't go as much. I really don't get as much done. I get Botox and filler still. But I can go like 9 months now. I mean, I'm really lazy about that. I've done the Ulthera and I've done it twice, but I've heard that it does melt your bone.
Okay, so we just had
melt your bone?
Yeah.
I've heard it melts bone. It really looked amazing. I mean, I felt like I had like strings in holding myself back for a while. But I'm not going to do it again. I'd rather cut than do another.
So we just interviewed a woman and we were talking about Ulthera and she was just saying like, they're saying don't do it because it's not great. It's better off cutting again whenever and however you do that. But it's definitely gotten some negative comments.
Yes. I love the like muscle relaxer they give you before Ulthera. I call Jason. I'm like, help. I can't get out of here. I'm on the floor. He's like, get in an Uber. I'm like, you have to come pick me up. I don't think I could find my way into an Uber. So that was like the only fun part of Ulthera. Cause then it hurts. You're in pain for like 6 months after Ulthera.
That does not sound worth it. That does not sound worth it.
It was worth it though, because I did think I looked better, but
how long did it last?
A good like year or so.
Oh, okay.
But I won't do it again.
Okay. So filler, where are you?
Filler, I'll do like around the face.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really do filler in these guys anymore. When I lived in LA, I thought that was a good look, but now I realize.
What are those lines called?
You look so flat.
Marionette.
Yeah. You look so flat in a photograph and it makes your face kind of look wider. So I won't do that. So now I'll just do filler around and up to like pull. To kind of like hold things back. That's what Pat Wexler does to me.
And she's your go-to, right? Pat Wexler?
She does cheeks. Yeah. I do a littlest cheek possible. Because again, I feel like you could look like, and maybe it's just my face shape, but I feel like I could look too wide with too much cheek.
You know, everybody's doing like Chrissy Teigen took the fat or something she was saying.
What is up with Chrissy's face, guys? Something's been done.
She does look fantastic,
totally different.
I agree.
She took out the I don't know what the procedure. She took out the fat. Like she took out fat like underneath her cheekbone or something.
Oh, she looks great, but she looks like a different person and I couldn't place why.
You know, she did a like a hair transplant on her brows that I think Jen Akin and I thought looked amazing. But she did something like the bulky fat. I'm not sure.
Yes, but yes, yes.
Again, I didn't.
Okay. I
always thought she looked
amazing.
I mean,
I like it. I think it looks good.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Also, but Pat says always, she's like, don't get rid of fat in your face. One day you're going to wish you had it. That's the other thing. I think people who have fat in their face are lucky because they look young, like longer. And like if we start siphoning the fat off,
I know,
we're never getting it back, guys. We have to keep it.
It's like Catherine Deneuve. It's,
as
your,
long as possible.
It's your face or your ass.
Yeah. Now, what 100%. At home, what at home pro, like laser, like any Zip or what's the other one called that you like, the New Face? Like what do you use any of those?
The radio frequency, New Face, IPL kind of things?
Well, I did Vivace. That's more like of a microneedling situation.
Oh, you got it. Okay. I did it. It's a radio frequency microneedling. They numb you. I did it a couple years ago. One of the single best treatments I've ever done.
Yeah, I like Vivace. I've done it maybe 3 or 4 times, but now I've heard there's another one. I forget what that one's
but
called.
But is that in-home or at a...
That's in a studio. But there's a new at-home one that Busy Phillips just told me about yesterday. And she's like, Jenny, because I'm going to London next week, she's like, you got to buy it. It's not FDA approved. So you have to buy it in London. I'm like, oh, God. But it's something L-Y something.
L-Y.
Starts with an L. And she's like, it's absolutely like changing my skin.
L-Y.
So I'm going to buy that in like a week.
Oh, tell us. Report back.
I'm going to report back on that.
Or just buy us one and we'll Venmo you.
I'll get you one.
I'll bring one.
I'm going to bring you guys back one of these.
I'm Googling it right now.
I know. I want to know more. Now, let's talk also about makeup, because I do know that you always had like glowy skin whenever I saw you. Always like the perfect face.
Oh my God, you're so sweet. I'm always breaking out. But wait, also another thing I don't want people to pay for, and I need you to tell you guys sucks, is M-Sculpt. I hated it. It actually like hurt my back.
I've done M-Sculpt.
I was wounded by M-Sculpt. Like I think it might have like herniated a disc in my back. I'm not kidding. But no, I didn't like it. I don't know that it made that big of a difference. And it was very painful.
Mm-hmm. Wait, I can't find this LY thing. Have you heard of the tripolar?
No, is that good?
Yeah, that's really good. That's what
Tina Craig.
Tina Craig said from U Beauty. She said it was amazing, and I use it. It's really good.
Tripolar.
It's called TRIPOLLAR.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you're supposed to use it not like right after you've had Botox, because it can it gets rid of the Botox. So if you're like kind of veering towards the end and you're like ready for a new Botox treatment, it helps rebuild collagen or something like that.
Okay. Oh, I'll get into that. Mm-hmm. Tripolar.
I'm
not bipolar, I'm tripolar. Okay.
All right. What about skincare? Talk to us about skincare.
Skincare, I was all about Drunk Elephant, because Tiffany, the founder, said to me once, she's like, Jenny, if you wear makeup, you need makeup. And she's like, if you're not, she's like, it's fucking up your skin. Because I was always breaking out. I was one of those people that like didn't get acne until I was like 28. And then it was just like underground sort of.
Yeah, that's like me.
I need to inject the fuck out of them. Otherwise, I like pick into like there's a hole in my face.
Yeah, me too. I had cystic acne for almost 10 years. I ended up going on Accutane. Yes. I did the injections.
It's insane. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's kind of I went through that. So Drunk Elephant, I love. I try not, even like a lot of the organic stuff, it has all the oils that tend to break me out. So I haven't been doing a lot of that. I'm really into just like sticking with what works. And I also like Hope Smith has this company, Mutha, M-U-T-H-A.
Yeah, I just got her products.
It's bomb. I mean, it's bomb.
Oh, that body bomb butter thing is.
Like, here's the thing, like with Hope, like, you know, price is no object. Like when she's making this shit, she's like very well backed, let's just say. And I know that she's not fucking around. She's not cutting corners. She's like, if it's the best shit, she's gonna have it. And that's what I love about her product. I'm like, I feel so safe, because I know that like she's neurotic about what she uses on her body, and she's not gonna like cut corners to just like make a, like, she's not in it for the money, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so no, her body butter is amazing. And there's a thing.
The serums, the face stuff, guys.
Is it good?
Is that the one in the purple?
That looks like a magic potion.
Yeah, it's in a purple bottle.
Is it good?
It's amazing.
Do I need it?
Yeah.
No, it's insanely good.
Oh, I need it.
I'll show you what it is. It's really good.
Oh, I need to get that. I've been wanting to try it, but her stuff is very expensive.
It's very expensive, but it's only because she's using the best shit. Like, the best.
So walk us through your skincare at night. Like what's your like go-to products?
So I'll use Hope stuff.
Okay.
I will use like some sort of like, you know, either like an oil, or I like that like marula oil from Drunk Elephant. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just put on like a bunch of mother product. And that's kind of it. Sometimes I'll do the under eye. Oftentimes I forget. And then I'm taking magnesium and sometimes a melatonin to knock myself unconscious.
I love taking, I take yeah. magnesium. I was really stressed, you know, about a year and a half ago and my doctor put me on it. I wasn't sleeping and I always sleep. Yes. And it really made yes. a huge difference.
Yeah, I've been taking right? the Chroma one, yes. the calming magnesium so from good. Chroma. It's really good.
Have you done Chroma yet?
No.
It's a really good, it's not a cleanse.
It's a reset. Okay.
It's a reset, but it's really, really good and easy to do. And you feel really clean and healthy. And it's like, makes you like mentally alert.
Yeah, I really
and
like
it's,
it.
And you're
like
not that. Starving.
Okay.
Ooh, you're satiated. Like okay. You're satiated.
Yeah.
You're not full, but you're satiated.
Do you like living in the city?
I like it right now. I mean, there are some days when I want to like kill somebody, but otherwise, yes, I think I like it. I didn't mean to live here. I just like thought that my house in LA was haunted. And we came to New York. Jason was doing a play. And I thought, you know, I'd only owned that house for 6 months. And I knew the only way I'd ever be able to sell a house I'd owned for 6 months is if I told Jason that I wanted to move to New York because his family's back here.
He's from New Jersey, right?
He's from Jersey. And yeah. I kept saying to my sister, listen, I'll be back. I just got to get rid of this house. So we moved here when Sid was 6 months old, and I thought I would be here a year, and then I figured work would bring him back. And then it never happened. Everything just sort of started to happen here for me to back, guys.
I mean, I never thought I'd leave.
That was gonna be here.
I thought I'd never leave the city, but three kids was what put me over the edge.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Three kids, I'd be out.
It's a great lifestyle if you can work and, you know... But it takes a lot of people. It takes a lot of manpower. Like it is, it's hard, the city.
Yeah. I my kids are happy, so happy right now. But they have a huge backyard and we can still go to.
Oh my God, they're so happy.
We can be in Tribeca in 30 minutes, literally less than 30 minutes.
Yes. No, that's amazing.
We're going to do a little rapid fire. So you have to answer every question with the first answer that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
What's the last thing you did before you go to sleep?
I move our like rescue dog over on top of Jason.
Who would it be if you could kill off any TV character from a current TV show?
Oh my God. Maybe like all of the Notkins from Babies First.
What is your biggest Notkins. Pet peeve?
My biggest pet peeve is when you do something for somebody and like really show up for them in a major way. And then like you turn around and ask for a favor and they like can't, they don't like return the favor. They can't be bothered.
Yes. We deal with this on a daily basis.
It's like, are you kidding? I've like, really? Hyped your shit for years. You can't even. Yeah. I hate that.
Yeah.
Have you ever sent a text to the wrong person?
Yes.
Who?
I sent a sexual text to Jason's mom. And I also one time actually sent a text saying, do you have the serial code for my implants? And I sent it to Jason's mom and not my mom. She's like, I didn't know you had implants. Which was amazing.
What's your go-to cocktail?
I don't really drink, to be honest. I'm not a drink. Jason's sober. I don't really, I mean, I guess mezcal. And then when I'm on mezcal, because I rarely drink, I turn to my sister and I'm like, I'm on mezcal. I feel like I'm like fucking like, I've just like popped like a Quaalude because it's so intense for me.
If you could eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Challah bread.
Oh, I love challah bread.
Forever. Just French like toast, give me a fucking challah bread. Loaf of challah. Oh. Yeah, just like, ugh.
So good.
If you could disinvent one thing, what would it be?
God, I mean, my career, like it's given me a career, but probably my iPhone.
Would you rather be able to copy and paste in real life or undo in real life?
Undo.
Sure, for sure. Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
An extrovert, but also like I never want to leave the house. So like maybe like an agoraphobic extrovert.
What's the last thing you dreamt about?
Oh God, I had a horrible nightmare where I was like in this like Swiss like ski chalet town. And then like, I don't know if you guys as like moms have ever had these dreams, but like I ran across the street and like my kids followed me and like there were cars and I was trying to grab the kid. It was just like a horrible, awful. Ugh.
Those are the worst.
Those are
the worst. Where I'm like, I have to get, oh my God, there's car. And you're bobbing, weaving out in and out of cars. It was awful.
Jenny Mullen, if you could give your 10-year-old self a piece of advice, what would it be?
I would say, you're going to get everything you want like, don't, because I was dyslexic as a kid, you know, I really felt not good enough. I really felt like I just like couldn't do it. And I would say to myself, like, you're going to do it like fucking even harder than all of these other people. Like, this is going to be your superpower. This is actually like giving you the drive and resilience that you need to achieve the things in life that you're going to do. But at the time I felt like just really scared and inadequate. So I wish that somebody had told me that.
You're awesome.
You're so awesome. And then Dictator Lunches.
Dictator
September
Lunches in
13th.
September. It's so good. Yes. We're so happy for you. We think you're
guys,
hilarious.
Thank you so much.
We're going to come see you.
We'll do another lunch redo at Lure. How about
yes,
that?
Yes. Guys,
maybe
I'll
not
order,
sushi.
Like, I'll order the chicken.
Yeah. We'll have chicken or
maybe
salmon.
Not sushi. You guys, you can find Jenny at Jenny Mullen, JennyMollin, and at Dictator Lunches. You're amazing. We love you. Give.
Thank you,
I actually
guys.
Know your husband a little bit, Jason. He's a great guy.
Oh, that's so sweet. I'm going to tell him you guys said hi.
Oh.
Right. You're the best.
Take
so
care.
Good to see you.
Nice
thank
to see
you.
You. You too. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I love her.
I know. She's
so good. You guys,
she made me laugh
on the
my
rim.
Ass off.
She's so funny. I mean, the Dictator Lunches are so good and the book is amazing. And she's just, I don't know. She's just, I love that she's so open. She has this like, she doesn't give a shit attitude. I love when, you know, people take what they've gone through, like being brought up and as a child of certain parents, the way they were raised and really trying to do it differently and really trying to take that onus. And
there's an honesty that is not always there with people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what makes her.
Well, there's an honesty
special.
Of also not trying to do the same thing that yep. your parents did to you is like taking onus and really, you know, what is best for you and your husband or your partner now. So I don't know. I just love her.
She's awesome.
That's
all right.
A wrap.
Love you, Moss.
I love you, boo. That's a wrap on Lipstick on the Rim. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Lipstick on the Rim with Molly Sims and my ride or die, Emisha Gormley. We are so excited to bring you guys along on this journey. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Lipstick on the Rim and Molly B. Sims, or my website where you can dive just a little bit deeper into my favorite products, trends, and more at mollysims.com. This podcast is a production with Dear Media. Wanted to give a special thanks to my team, Ashley Gasparian, Schaefer Carrillo, Ashley Sanchez, and Michelle Harrison, and everyone at Dear Media. Don't forget to listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss out on the fun.